The Majority Report, where every day's casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. Even Saturday and Sunday are casual. Sorry, Jesus. So don't forget your denim hip huggers. Don't forget your bootcut jeans. We're not afraid of dungarees on the Majority Report.
All right, it's Casual Friday, January 21st, 2011. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. It is Casual Friday. Evan is wearing his Zubaz. I am not even wearing a collared shirt. Well, I am, but it's a sports, sort of a sports shirt, as a wearing a sort of a cardigan zipper-up sweater. I'm completely casual today. And we have a casual show. I want to remind you, this week we had some fantastic radio programs, radio, podcast, whatever you want to call it. The interview with James Galbraith. I should tell people, you may not know this, but if you have a blog out there, if you know people who have a blog, if you have a Facebook page, you can post clips of the show, specific clips that we post, you can get them at the majority.fm page. Look up to the top of it. It says audio clips. Go there. You can embed them. We had something like 23,000 hits on the Galbraith interview. That was embedded.
It was a good interview.
That was a good interview. And so that's on top of the thousands who listened. I mean, presumably they listened to the entire podcast. We can only tell how many people download the podcast. For all I know, everyone's downloading the podcast and not even listening to it.
I'm just sticking around for the Benjamin intro, then out.
That's right. It could be just, I want to see what the intro is today, and then get out of it. Earlier in the week, I went through that Krugman piece, which I think was a brilliant piece about the real differences between the parties. And that got something like 23,000 hits or 20,000 hits as just a clip. So if you have friends who don't feel the commitment to listening to an hour and a half podcast, or if you'll notice lately, the show is about 40 minutes long. The post-show is 50 minutes long. I don't know. Maybe my addition's wrong there. No, I think that's correct. That's accurate.
Sounds about right, yeah.
Yes. And so even if you can't get through the 40 minutes, or your friends can't, you can always send them a clip. We always have YouTube clips, but I think, you know, we're finding a lot more success with the audio clips, because that's the way that we do the show. I mean, you know. Dorsey's not here right now, but so I can say this, but he's not a good videographer. He doesn't seem to know anything about video. But I feel comfortable saying that only because he's not here. He'll be here shortly. On the program today, we'll be talking to Chris Rosen from MovieLine.com, as we do every Casual Friday, because it's more casual. A lot of people catch up to the podcast on Fridays, but, you know, and I don't know if they want a recap of the news or what, but check out that Galbraith interview. And frankly, Professor Eric Kingston, you know, it's very rare that I speak to someone who tells me things I didn't know about Social Security. He was talking because he was a staffer on the 82-83 commission, which Greenspan headed for Reagan. That's a very interesting conversation. And of course, we've been talking about Social Security this week because anticipating reports. Calm down, people who email me, tell me that I am unnecessarily not trusting Barack Obama. But there are reports, many reasons to believe that Barack Obama is going to introduce the idea of cutting Social Security during the State of the Union address. Who knows? Maybe he won't do it then. Maybe he'll do it later. Hopefully he'll do it never. So those two shows I would recommend highly. And frankly, I would recommend Tuesday's show highly, too. And having gone back and listened to Monday's show, which is clips of Martin Luther King, reports of his death from Walter Cronkite, and a 12-minute song in exchange with the audience 3 days after his death by Nina Simone, you know what? This is the week. Go back. If you have missed any podcast this week, go back. All you need to do is listen to the first 40 minutes. All the good stuff happens after that, but you'll also enjoy the first 40 minutes. Now, folks, and I want to remind you also, so many of you have bought Just Coffee at justcoffee.coop with a coupon that gives you 10% off when you put majority in there. They're ecstatic. I'm ecstatic. I love the coffee. I love the company. And I have gotten many, many emails saying, love your show, but thank you for turning me on to Just Coffee. Coffee is, you know, you can go and spend $12 on a pound of coffee, at least some places. Yeah. You know, that's fair trade. Forget about it, folks. And Just Coffee, I think it's, I don't know, the average one is like $9, I think, or something. But so. with the coupon code, could be even less.
We're running low. Maybe that's why Dorsey's not here yet.
Right. And So I encourage you. It's supportive of the show, and you're going to drink coffee. You might as well get, and they ship it right off. It's awesome. I can't even say any more than that. And also, I would say, if you really, really want to support the show, and you haven't yet, and you're able to, I've got, you know, people have told me that they can't support the show because some screw up in Medicare up in California because of cutbacks there, people living on a fixed income. I don't want anyone to become a member if you can't afford to become a member. And when we sequester that second part of the podcast, send me an email and we'll work something out. But if you can't afford to become a member, it makes a huge difference. A huge difference. You may already hear the audio quality has gotten better recently. You're going to hear the audio quality get significantly better because of, you know, things like the Sinclair has allowed Dorsey now to cut up those sound clips in our workflow and get it all out there in a way that would not have been able to happen if we didn't have the Sinclair. And the Sinclair, of course, is a MacBook Pro that Sinclair sent us. And we named it the Sinclair. Your membership has allowed us to buy a blackjack. And when that comes, you're going to hear a significant difference in the sound quality. And then what is really blown me away, and I don't know who this is. They seem to be a little bit cagey about it, who they are. But they are sending an SM7B, brand new SM7B, never used, as far as I can tell, mic. Now, I'm not geeking out on you. It's just I saw a picture of Marin in the New York Times, you know, for his podcast. And I was like, that mic, what is that mic? That's why he sounds so good.
I'm geeking out. You're going for blood.
And then Kyle, who has a podcast, if you're a geek out there, like a computer geek, or you do coding, or I don't know what he does. I can't even figure it out. If you're substantially smarter than the rest of us, you're going to want to check out Kyle Shank's podcast. But I'm talking to him on Skype because he's the one who does the back end for this, and he's got one of those mics there. And I'm like, oh, dude, I want to get that mic. We got to wait another month or so. And someone just tweeted me, and so it's, I don't know, it's wonderful. All right, let's get right into it. I didn't want to do that much a dilly-dallying, but it's Casual Fridays, folks, so what do you know? Come on. Seriously. So Joe Lieberman, I'm not going to spend too much time more on Joe Lieberman, although God knows what he'll do in the next 2 years to piss me off. And God knows what he'll do. You know, someone said, do you think Lieberman's going to go completely off the reservation now because there's really no way to punish him? But do you understand, you know, electorally? Do you understand that Joe Lieberman was so arrogant, is so arrogant, that there was never any way to punish him? The concept that the voters in Connecticut cared about what he was doing, he just thought that this was his to be decreed. He was just so offended. And yes, he hates the liberal left, but you know, he's not in a position to thwart any legislation in the way that he did before. So I'm not as concerned with Joe Lieberman's ability to screw over liberals anymore. But with that said, who knows? Lieberman's a very ingenious and despicable character, and so there, he very well may find opportunities to do it. So let's talk a little bit about Joe Lieberman. David Brooks writes a piece, A Most Valuable Democrat. Well, first of all, Joe Lieberman's not a Democrat anymore. He's an independent. Let's start right there. In the spring of 2008, John McCain asked Joe Lieberman, and valuable to whom is really the issue? Because I also have in my hand another story. Defense industry says Lieberman will be hard to replace. I'll bet. This is a guy who's advocated for weapons. I mean, this is just, I don't even know how to describe this. He has been defending the F-22 fighter program for the Air Force, which is one even the Air Force doesn't want. But Joe Lieberman, all that time, when he was flying, you know, F-14. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. He's never flown anything short of like a test balloon on what would happen if I joined the ticket with John McCain. He's foisting this crap onto taxpayers because his number one constituency is defense contractors. And, you know, this will become clear when he goes and works for a lobbying firm representing these people. Maybe it's a trade group. I don't know who, you know, I'm not clairvoyant. I'm not a soothsayer. I can only tell you that he will be reaping the largesse of his work over these years. So make no mistake about that. So John McCain asked Joe Lieberman to speak on behalf of the Republican National Committee. If I look back, I wonder about it, Lieberman now says. What? You wonder about what? Whether it helped John McCain, or you just were just showing yourself to be too much of a douchebag, or that's what did me in Connecticut. Now, you were dead in Connecticut. You eked by because you had a bad Republican candidate running against you in Connecticut 4 years ago. And you had a Democratic candidate who was cocky, who didn't realize that he had to fight after he won the primary. That's all it was. And after Barack Obama won the election, the hammer came down. Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, told Lieberman that some Democrats wanted to strip him of his chairmanship of Homeland Security Committee. Lieberman, an independent, said if that happened, he might not be able to vote with the Democratic caucus. In the end, it wasn't even close. 42 Democratic senators voted to let Lieberman keep his chairmanship. 13 voted against. As Ezra Klein of the Washington Post noted recently, this turned out to be one of the most consequential decisions Obama and Reid made. If Lieberman had not been welcomed back by the Democrats, there might not have been a 60th vote for health care reform, and it would have failed. Okay, this is a prime example of why Joe Lieberman is so despicable. Joe Lieberman, for his entire career, and from the Democratic establishment, and from his people, have told us he's with us on everything but the war. He's a principled moderate who believes in helping out people. So, as a testament to Joe Lieberman, we are being told that if he was not, if his power in the Senate, his ability to help defense contractors and security companies get contracts was not restored and maintained, his vote on the most consequential piece of legislation that he's probably had a chance to vote on in 30 years would have gone the other way. This is what I have been saying about Joe Lieberman, John McCain, and their ilk. They believe in nothing, nothing but their own power. There is nothing. You take away ego from these men, and there is nothing left. Just a crumpled suit and a couple of invoices that they're going to send to their defense contractor cronies. Nothing. And this is the compliment that people pay to him. David Brooks goes on, there certainly would have been no victory for Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal without Lieberman's tireless work and hawkish credentials. Excuse me? If the Democratic caucus had decided you're not going to be chairman of this committee, he wouldn't have supported the rights of gays? What? The man stands for nothing. I'm not saying he has to be an ideologue, but he's either for these things or he's against these things. Or he follows the will of his constituents or not. I mean, there's many ways in which I think it's legitimate for a senator to determine how they're going to vote. But the idea that it comes down to explicitly and exclusively his ego, it's disgusting. There have been times, like during the healthcare debate, when I found Lieberman's independence befuddling and detached from any evident intellectual moorings. But in general, he's shown a courageous independence of mind. What? In other words, yes, it's all about his ego. There are plenty of team players in government who do whatever the leader says. There are too few difficult members who have complicated minds, unusual perspectives, the toughness to withstand the party line barrages, and a practical interest in producing results. What? What does that even mean? It's valuable to have senators who are so egotistical that they will determine the fate of massive legislation, the fate of the civil rights of individuals, based upon their own ego or hurt feelings. That's a good thing, according to David Brooks. To David Brooks, I say,
you are a douchebag.
And to Joe Lieberman, I say,
you are a douchebag.
And good riddance. Now, moving on to the next topic, Joe Lieberman. Actually, you know, we'll pick up the Joe Lieberman sound afterwards because it is time for our segment with Chris Rosen. And for those of you who have listened to the Chris Rosen segment on a regular basis, you know that we've got to. I've got to call him right on time. Or otherwise, it may throw off his whole schedule about when he eats cereal. Or when he decides to change out of his underwear. We'll be right back. Majority Report. All right, we are back, and on the Google chat, the video Google chat, I can see Chris Rosen, not shaven, but you do seem to be wearing clothes.
I am. I have a full outfit on, even pants.
You have a full outfit on? You may want to turn up your microphone.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Now,
how's that?
Chris, we have a little surprise for you.
Oh, yes, really?
Yes, Jimmy Reefer Cake.
Uh-huh.
From the IM chat has come up with your theme song.
Oh, really?
Yes, I'm going to play it for you now, and here it goes.
Okay.
Christopher Rosen of movieline.com. Big shot senior editor, eh? Here is your theme song. You sit in a dimly lit room watching movies and you dress like a slob. Jimmy Reefer Cake's got to ask. You said, man, how'd you get that job? I said, how did you get that job?
How did you get that job? He asked at the end. Of course, Jimmy Reefer Cake has to also include his own name in there, but I mean, I guess it works, and that's going to be your official theme song if you have no problem with that.
I love it. I mean, you know, it's not every day you get someone of the caliber of Jimmy Reefer Cakes to write a song about you. So
that's right. Now, just to be fair, he also wrote one that was more kinder to you, and we'll just play that. It's quick. And
okay.
This one won't be using it.
Okay.
Said on me, I'm on Chris Rosen's side. Sammy, would you stop making fun of a guy? Me, I'm on Chris Rosen's side. You can find the man at movieline.com.
Now that one, you actually may want to just awesome. Use as like I don't even know. Maybe if you have a website or something. But and, of course, you can always find more of Jimmy Reefer Cake's stuff at allthehypocrisy.com. That I got to say, Jimmy sent me some other stuff. Wasn't impressed. I mean, I was sort of impressed, but I didn't love it. I love your theme song.
I love it, too. I think that's really good. I'm proud of that.
Okay, so now let's get right to it. Last week, what did you suggest?
I think I suggested Catfish.
Didn't see it yet.
Documentary, and I forget the other one I suggested.
Okay. Oh, Shutter Island. Didn't see that one yet. But you know what I'm doing? I'm getting a Roku.
Okay. I was looking into those. Is that a good purchase?
It's $100. I'm going to get rid of my cable.
Oh, well, done.
So there you go. All right. So, but I will get to those two. But what else you got for me?
This week, I got to be honest, I'm a little light out there. You know, it's January, not a lot of movies coming out in theaters, not a lot of movies coming out on demand and stuff. I see your face, your eyes are glassing over. Don't worry, I found a couple good for you, don't worry. First one's an old one that you might have seen, not that old, probably from like 5 years ago. It's called Ira and Abby.
No,
it's a romantic comedy, and it stars Chris Messina, who is like a character actor. You would know him if you saw his face. He's got a very generic face. And Jennifer Westfeldt, who you might also know as this guy John Hamm's girlfriend.
Yes, I know Jennifer, actually. I met her, well before I met her with John Hamm. It's Name Drop Friday.
you need Jimmy Reefer Pants to give you a song about that one.
Yeah, first of all, it's Jimmy Reefer Cake.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jimmy Reefer Cakes? Yeah, well, whatever.
But... Yes, I met Jennifer ages ago when she was casting Kissing Jessica Stein, because I also know her co-writer on that movie, who is married to Kevin Hench,
right.
Heather. Kevin Hench, of course, wrote the thing for Adam Carolla, whose house I did play basketball at and saw his party house in the valley. It's Name Drop Friday.
And, so there you go, yeah.
Yes, so...
So, Ira and Abby is the follow-up that she did to Kissing Jessica Stein. And it's a similarly neurotic kind of New York romance. Why are you shaking your head?
Mm.
You don't like it?
Mm.
She's like... It's kind of like a Woody Allen movie, but with, like, girls.
It's and, like a Woody Allen movie, but not as funny.
This one's pretty cute. I think this one's pretty funny. John Hamm makes a cameo in it.
Ooh.
you know, you could watch it and be like, I know that guy, honey. You know, done.
Well, Nick was there. My wife was there when we met him.
Oh, okay. So then she could be like, you're nobody anyway.
Right.
Anyway, so Iron Abby's cute. And I thought that would be good because, you know, the big release this Friday here is No Strings Attached, which is with Ashton Kutcher and Natalie Portman. It's a romantic comedy.
Never heard of
this
it.
This is kind of like that. Well, you know, if you... Well, you're getting rid of your television, so you won't... No, never mind. Never mind.
And what else we got? And so that's on what? That's on...
That's on Netflix. Okay. It's a free instant watch. You can watch it, you know, at your leisure.
Okay.
Short, only about an hour and a half.
Okay.
And then on demand, I have Easy A.
Easy A.
Which is a teen comedy that's actually pretty funny. It stars Emma Stone, who is... You know, she used to have red hair. She's like a new version of Lindsay Lohan, but without any substance abuse problems.
I
want to
have her babies.
She's pretty hot.
That's Dorsey, incidentally.
That's Dorsey.
I don't want to have any more babies.
She's pretty hot. She used to have red hair. Then she dyed her hair blonde now because she's going to be in Spider-Man as Gwen Stacy.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Am I speaking English
Who's
right now?
Who's Gwen Stacy? His boyfriend? His girl? Peter Parker's girlfriend?
It's Peter. One of Peter Parker's girlfriends, apparently. The new they're doing a new Spider-Man because, you know, we need to reboot that because the old one only came out like 5 years ago. And they're not going to have Mary Jane in it because why would you have Mary Jane in Spider-Man? It's only his girlfriend.
What about Tobey Maguire?
Tobey Maguire's not in it, actually.
What?
Come on. They got a new Spider-Man. It's Andrew Garfield.
Who the hell is Andrew Garfield?
He's a British lass. He was in Social Network.
Forget it, man. Not even interested. I don't want.
Well, no. We're not talking about. I'm not suggesting you see Spider-Man right now. That's not even made yet. I'm suggesting you see Easy A, which is like a teen comedy that has a lot of 80s references, and it's basically like a play on The Scarlet Letter, where Emma Stone is like this girl. She pretends to have sex with a couple of her loser boyfriends, so they get like a cool cred around the school, and then everybody thinks she's a big whore, and it just goes on from there. And it's pretty funny.
How'd you get that job?
Like you
I said, how did you get that job?
You can't hear it, but I was just playing the... I don't like these picks at all.
I'm telling you, it's January, Sam. It's the Slim Pickens out there. And you never caught up on the ones, the good ones
right.
I gave you last
I'll
week.
I'll probably do Catfish.
I'll tell you this right now. Easy A, I think, is actually really funny. And I think you will find it. If you have your... I know you're a tough critic, but if you temper your expectations, you'll find it funny. It's definitely cute.
That's right. If you don't mind watching garbage. You know what? I still got three more episodes of Caprica, so I don't even need this. Still got three more episodes of Caprica on my iTunes, so I don't even need this stuff.
Now, how does Roku work?
Roku, you know, it basically, it just hooks up via Wi-Fi.
To the internet?
To the internet. And you stream the Netflix right on your TV. Plus, for $7, you can get all Hulu
oh, really?
A month. And then there's like a couple other things. And you can do Amazon On Demand.
Oh, wow.
So maybe when I get Roku, you may have to start to review Amazon On Demand.
Oh, I'd love to. This will open up the segment, I think. Really, we'll really explore the
space. I know. I'm going to see Winnebago Man. That's what I want.
Oh, that one's supposed to be great. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know why I'm telling you movie reviews. You're
well,
the guy from MovieLine.com.
Well, because we already talked about Winnebago Man.
No, we
and
didn't.
Yeah, we did, because Dorsey recommended it to you.
No, he didn't.
Oh. Maybe I dreamed that.
Oh, man. You got to get out. You don't look well. Seriously. You look peaked.
No, I look good. You're just you think I look peaked because the computer screen is like bright on my face.
Yeah. Maybe not.
And I guess you don't want to talk about the Golden Globes.
Oh, wait, you want to talk about the Golden Globes? All right, yeah, we might as well.
If you want.
Let's do it. We got 2 minutes.
We got 2 minutes. What you think? Did you watch them?
No.
Oh.
Well, but I did watch a compilation of
Ricky Gervais,
and the line at the end where he goes, I want to thank God for making me an atheist. It's so fantastic. I loved the whole thing. I loved everything he did. And I was so glad that someone put the compilation on YouTube so I didn't have to watch any of the crap in between.
I happen to see a great compilation of all his jokes. Oh, right. Dorsey did it from New York Mag.
Ah.
It was really nice.
It wasn't as good as the one that I saw because it was longer, right? The one I saw, it was better.
It was much better. I editorially was concerned.
Look, Dorsey, I'm setting you up for like a compliment there. You don't have to.
I appreciate it. I was nodding my head yes, but then once Sam made the point that the other one was better, I couldn't really disagree.
But anyway, I agree with you. I thought he was great. He was super funny. He was actually not even mean enough. I would say he could have gone further, because screw all those people. Who cares?
Right, exactly. The Golden Globes, you know, as a critic, is a total bullshit.
It's a, like he said, it's actually like a literal scam. I mean, yep. they take payola. It's like a it's like a 60s DJ.
Right, you know? Exactly. You're absolutely right.
And I mean, Angelina Jolie looks like a statue. So what are you going to do?
Do you ever review things like Bob's Burgers?
You know what? I have not yet to watch Bob's Burgers. I got it lined up on my Hulu to watch.
Okay.
Now I heard someone's in that I know, does a voice in it. Oh right.
That's right. It's me.
It's Name Drop Friday.
I just went in and I did another voice. I do multiple voices in that show.
I know,
not
I know
every time, not every episode, I don't think.
I know we're out of time here. Do you go in and do you get to, like, how does it work? Do you go in alone or do you do it with, like, the group, or how does
that
work?
Well, you know, I did some pickups yesterday, actually.
Okay.
But it is, when we record, everybody goes in more or less the same time. Some people are in L.A., but mostly we're all in New York, like Christian Schall and Eugene Merman and, what's that guy's name, John Benjamin and John Roberts.
And you guys all do it in the same room, so it, like, makes the performance better, right?
Yeah, and it's very fun.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, how about this? I'll make sure to catch up with that, and we can discuss it more next week.
Yeah, I don't know if it's very funny. I've never watched it.
Well, I'll let you know.
Okay. All right, folks, Chris Rosen and his new theme song.
Love it.
We will see him every week, of course, giving us Netflix streaming and on-demand picks, because I have a kid. I'm not allowed to leave the house. We'll be right back, and I will shit on Joe Lieberman a little bit more. We are back, and before we crap on Lieberman just a little bit more, because this could be the last time. Not really, but I mean, I'm not going to be terribly interested in him in the future. We don't have much leverage with him, so, you know, talking about him will be in passing. But this is a great story out of Atlanta from 11 Alive, which is also just a bizarre name for a
I had no
local
idea
news.
Sending me. I assumed it was spam.
11 Alive. It's really just the people who do the research. They're like, we're coming in, we're going to brand it 11 Alive. Because, you know what? We tested, we focus tested 11 Dead. Not as good for local news. So this is a local story, but it is so instructive. So Atlanta's getting snowstorms, right? Last snowstorm hits. They only get these snowstorms like every, like, I don't know, 4 years, 5 years,
how,
3 years.
How bad could they be? It's Atlanta.
Well, first of all, people aren't used to driving. And, you know, 6-8 inches.
Fair enough.
So the snowstorm that shut down the city for a week. People are talking about, what do we do? Do we set aside money for this? Do we hire workers to coordinate this? Because we don't need them that often. The mayor of Atlanta said it's going to cost. I want the people to know going forward, they've got to be prepared for us to spend more if they want this type of things. So there's a guy, John Sherman, elderly gentleman. He's the president of the Fulton County Taxpayers Foundation. That name alone. You know, here, like, Taxpayers Foundation, you're like a right-wing group that doesn't want to pay taxes. His organization has battled City Hall for years as an advocate, so-called advocate, for taxpayers, lobbying to lower property taxes and also cut government spending. But now, he has come out in favor of raising taxes. By $2 million, less than 1%, to make sure that in the event that this twice-in-a-decade event happens, the city is ready for it. Now, obviously in the past this has happened, but he considered it a waste. But what has changed? Let's play this audio.
Sherman's organization has battled City Hall for years as an advocate for taxpayers, lobbying to lower property taxes. He said his abrupt turnaround to pay taxes to prepare for the next crisis is a result of a personal experience.
What grabbed me emotionally was the fact that two of the people I know had heart attacks during the week and could not get to a hospital.
Well, hello! Fascinating. Fascinating, isn't it? A classic case of when something finally comes into their personal sphere. The anti-tax conservative suddenly sees a reason to spend. This explains why when I went down to the Beck 828 rally and heard every single person talking about socialism and cutting taxes and making the government smaller, and I said to every single person, I interviewed, I'd say, about 40 to 50 people off the top of my head. I think it was probably close, somewhere in between. And two, maybe it was one, but let's just call it two, answered the question, should we cut Social Security, answered with yes. I don't need Social Security. Every single other person said, well, I don't think we should cut Social Security. Why not? Because it's already there, or... like, as opposed to cutting something that's not already there. You see, that's how conservatives maintain their worldview. By making sure they don't know any gays. By making sure they don't know anybody who is suffering or, you know, intimately, in an intimate fashion. So much of what we consider so-called government waste is simply a function that we're not going to use. Each individual is not going to use government services. Yes, not everybody in society needs retirement insurance. But we don't know which person will or will not. Not everybody needs the streets plowed when the snow hits Atlanta. You do if you're going to have a heart attack. You do want that if your friends are going to have a heart attack, but you know what? We don't know who those people are going to be. And we don't have the fortune of saying it should be that guy who wants to cut taxes. Let his friends get heart attacks so that he realizes the value of what he otherwise would consider waste. It's the same with Social Security. It's the same with virtually any government program. You just don't know who in society is going to need it. Now, with Social Security, over 60% of retirees rely on Social Security for over 50% of their retirement income. So it's not like the two people who had the heart attack during the snowstorm. Different odds. But at the same time, I agree with this guy. You need operations. Is it wasteful? I don't know. Is fire insurance wasteful if your house never catches on fire? Is car insurance wasteful if you never get into a car accident? I guess. Or maybe not. I mean, that's what it is. That's what we're talking about. So that's an interesting story. Supreme Court weighs whether corporations have personal privacy rights. Now, you remember that in the Citizens United decision, corporations and unions were found to have a First Amendment right to spend money in candidate elections. But apparently, that decision has nothing to do with the issue as to what Congress meant when it exempted some files from disclosure under the Freedom of Information Act. The exemption at issue in this case is the FCC versus AT&T. Protects information that could reasonably be expected to constitute an unwarranted invasion of privacy. AT&T invoked the exemption in seeking to block the release of documents it had provided to the FCC, which conducted an investigation into claims of overcharges by the company in a program to provide equipment and services. These documents were sought by a trade association representing some of their competitors. So in other words, the FCC said, hey, we want to see some documents. Claims of overcharges by your company. So they gave them the documents, and then they said, please don't release this to the public, because the public may find out that we've been overcharging, and it may look bad upon us. Now this is a wonderful case. Is this government intrusion? Is it government intrusion to demand these documents? Can the marketplace work? I mean, should the corporation have any private documents that relate to its customer service? Right? I mean, can the marketplace work? Because, you know, what a libertarian would say is there shouldn't be any government regulation here. If you get bad service or you're being overcharged by AT&T, you just go to Verizon. But there's not perfect information in the marketplace. In fact, I think that's what Stiglitz won his Nobel Prize for, was the asymmetry. Why we have no free markets is because there's an asymmetry in the marketplace, an asymmetry of information. So you cannot have a free market. There is no free market, because free markets are dependent upon all the parties involved having the same amount of information. So the United States Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit in Philadelphia had ruled for the company, relying in part on the definition of person in the law that included corporations. But several Supreme Court justices seemed to say that it was too much of a leap from going to say that corporations might be persons for some purposes to saying that their personal privacy could be invaded. It seems like people are trying to justify a decision, earlier decision, that is really not justifiable insofar as how could corporations have First Amendment rights that are equivalent to the same First Amendment rights that I as a person has? But be that as it may, it does not look like they're going to rule in favor of privacy rights for corporations, which is good. I guess we'll update on that. 52% of Americans now hold unfavorable views of the Tea Party. Nearly three-quarters of Democrats, including as many moderate and conservative as liberal members of the party. So in other words, conservative Democrats, liberal Democrats, moderate Democrats, all think the Tea Party is nuts. And half of all so-called independents think the Tea Party is nuts. So, there you go. There's hope for this country yet. And rounding up the week, the strategic calculus for dealing with Iran's nuclear program has shifted dramatically in the past month, according to Joe Sirianni. This will be important because when we take a break and we come back, we'll play some more Lieberman clips. And, of course, you know, Joe is still hot to attack Iran. First came the news that the Stuxnet computer worm had apparently wrecked more than one-fifth of the centrifuges Iran has used over the past 5 years to enrich uranium. This is actually pretty cool. These estimates came from leading Israeli authorities. Did you hear that, Joe? That Iran is 3 to 5 years away from having a nuclear weapon, a sharp shift from earlier assessments. On Sunday, the New York Times reported that U.S. and Israel may be behind the computer virus, confirming what many had suspected. I imagine they are. I can't imagine there's too many guys like, you know, in their basement going like, let's make a computer virus that just attacks Iran's centrifuges.
Let's see if we can do it.
Some guys on 4chan.
That's right. There was a Times story about how that went down like a couple days ago.
Yeah, he just referenced that.
Yeah.
That's what he meant by That's what he meant when he said the New York Times reported.
I was checking the levels.
Evan doesn't listen to the show, you know that. credit must be given to the Obama administration, says Siren Sioni. The president's critics have blasted his Iran strategy, portraying him as weak and naive. Some have been campaigning for military strikes as the only solution, of course. The president now appears to have been playing deeper games than critics understood. The strategy could be called engage, sanction, and sabotage. It began 2 years ago with Obama's offer to talk directly to the Iranian regime as he extended the hand of friendship in his inaugural address. When Iran rebuffed his calls, he used their refusal to build a case for tougher international sanctions, an effort greatly aided by his exposure in 2009 of a covert enrichment facility near the city of Qom. Concurrently, the administration, as Time reports, was developing the most sophisticated cyber weapon ever deployed in a joint American and Israeli effort to undermine Iran's efforts to make a bomb of its own. The centrifuge program was already problematic, working with decades-old Pakistani design that is notoriously temperamental, resulting in hundreds of machines breaking down. The Institute for the Science and International Security concludes the virus now caused a major problems, forcing the Iranians to remove an additional 984 machines, known as IR-1 centrifuges, from their main facility in the city of Natanz. Sanctions make it much harder for Iran to recover from the cyber sabotage. Israeli's retiring military chief, intelligence chief, Meir Dagan, says Iran could not have a nuclear bomb before 2015 at the earliest. And the Israelis seem to be a little bit aggressive with their predictions. All right, folks. We're going to take a break. You can IM me at Majority FM. Have a great weekend, unless you're sticking around, in which case I'll wish you a great weekend later. Buy some coffee at justcoffee.coop. You can listen to the show on Stitcher as a podcast. And what was the other one? On
Stream Furious.
Stream Furious. Stream Furious. And please, 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 if you can, become a member. Each one of your memberships brings a smile to my face. And I'm so out of practice on this. Where's my heart?
Barack Obama.
Brings a smile to my face. No, that's not it. That's certainly not what I wanted to project.
What are you talking about?
There you go. Brings a smile to my face. All right, folks, stick around for the post-show chat. Oh, you know what? We'll take a phone call. We'll take a phone call on the post-show chat. We're going to try it. We'll try this technology. All right, we'll be right back. Show, and here is, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you it right now. I'm going to tell you this number. Majority Report Hotline, 707-CEDAR-05. 707-CEDAR-05, that's 707-733-3705. Give me a call. We'll see how this works out. I mean, you know, this is not going to be our final solution. Oh, I shouldn't say that. Sorry. But listen, I don't want a blood libel over this. We're gonna try this out. And so I'll take your calls, I'll take your IMs at Majority FM. Now for Kitty, Joe Lieberman going to make Aliyah and become Prime Minister of Israel. That is his destiny. Then peace will finally come to the Middle East and the stage will be set for the rapture. That's why the RNWNJs love him so much for his for the Cascadas, a.k.a. the Antichrist, will usher in the kingdom of heaven upon earth, 2012. That's why the Mayan prediction of the world ending in 2012 is correct. That was a Dune reference, by the way. I'm already in a call. What? Somebody's trying to call. How am I already in a call? Hold on. Keep... Oh, there it is. Hello?
Hello?
Hello. Who's calling?
It's Jay, Sam.
Jay.
Jay Schiavone, the one...
My Jay Schiavone from the IM. Yeah. Welcome, you, Jay, you know what?
What?
You are the first call-in ever on the Majority Report 2.
That sounds like a jinx. But so
oh,
far...
Oh, you know what the only
really
problem
well.
Is? You can't hear the 360. I just played the fanfare for you.
Oh, heck. Yeah, I wanted to congratulate you on your new phone-in. I think it's awesome.
Great, thank you. We're going to... This is just... It's going to even get even better than this, because we're going to be able to take multiple calls at one time and stack them and screen them in a way that a radio show does, but...
Have people be able
and
to
have people argue with each other. That's have always good.
People argue with each other and hear the 360, all that stuff.
Well, that sounds like the show I've been dreaming of.
Well, there you go, Jay.
I'm calling, of course, about Lieberman.
Yeah.
I live in Connecticut. I've been voting against Lieberman since he was a state employee.
Attorney General? Did you vote against him as Attorney General?
Actually, I was living in New York State back then. I think I got the privilege of voting against Al D'Amato that year.
Very nice.
Lieberman, he's been a party hack for pretty much his whole life since he got out of law school. He was worked for the Democratic machine here in New Haven and carried envelopes or did whatever to get ahead. And here we are. But I was IMing today. I think we may see the worst of Joe Lieberman yet. I think he's saving the worst for last.
You know, you may be right. You may be right about that. I mean, there's, you know, he's completely untethered now from any type of retribution. And though he thought he was above it in the past, now he's got to really be feeling it.
And also, his future entails, certainly he's going to be a pundit. He's going to get a full-time gig getting paid by some cable network. And he's also going to get a huge corporate assignment with tons of cash. And both of those things, I think, obnoxious he becomes, the more attention he draws to himself in a negative way, I think it's more appealing to cable news and
now,
to
now,
corporate.
Let me offer a counter-argument. If you're going to work for the defense industry or for some type of large industry, I think the opposite. I think what you want to do is keep your head down, make no waves. You certainly don't want to make yourself radioactive to any group whatsoever. You want to just basically recede quietly, maintain your relationships in Washington, maintain your stature as a just sort of like a just a right down the middle type of guy so that you can get onto as many different outlets as possible and not be controversial and just be that voice. So I actually think that he will lay low and do nothing that is in any way controversial. But we'll see.
Well, it's not his nature, for one thing. And for another thing, I think he's in a great position to dole out a lot of favors right now. He is the chairman of the Committee for Homeland Security in the Senate. And so he gets to pass muster on a huge amount of money.
Well,
and how it gets dispersed. So
that you may be right about, Jay. That you may be right about, that we could see him, you know, waste a lot of taxpayer money on stuff that we don't necessarily want that sets up his buddies. But I don't know if he'll be such a thorn rhetorically or in terms of legislation. But you know what? Time will tell. All right, let me say goodbye, Jay, and I appreciate
goodbye.
Your calling. Well, that was pretty good. Sounds good.
I'm going to tweet that out, the number. Should I do that?
Let's wait. Let's wait till next week. Let's just do because Can you get on there? What did you try and log on?
No, I don't. It didn't work beforehand, so I don't want to interrupt.
All right.
No. We'll work it out. I think we can get another computer here and do the whole.
Jay, before he called in, says conservatives rally behind Ricky Gervais. I don't even know what that means.
I think they were just happy that he was bashing, you know, liberal Hollywood.
Yeah. That liberal, didn't he also bash guys like Mel Gibson?
Well, I think it was, I think they're saying conservatives rally. I think it was more like Dennis Miller rallies behind Ricky Gervais.
Yeah, because Dennis Miller thinks that anybody who is not allowed to host Golden Globes anymore, in his deluded mind, still thinks he has an opportunity. Don't be a putz. Before you get all jealous of Marc Maron and his fancy microphone, keep in mind he's still in a garage doing live reads for Adam and Eve. First of all, I got news for you. Don't be a putz. His garage is nicer than our situation here. I mean, our situation here is nice. It's okay. But his garage is much more spacious. I would love to do this out of my garage. I don't have a garage. What were you going to say, Darcy?
I was just going to ask if you watched him on Conan last night.
No, I didn't see it, but I figure I can see it on... Somebody's got a clip of it.
He was really funny.
Was he?
It was great.
Did he mention me?
No.
Huh, that's weird.
He mentioned his garage, though.
Yeah, of course. And he's reading live reads for Adam Eve. Listen, all my reads are live. I don't know if I would do Adam and Eve. I don't think Adam and Eve would actually sell on our show. I don't know. But he does a lot of different products. He's doing well from advertising. He's doing very well for himself.
Hey, don't be a putz. Thanks for finding or catching that thing on the podcast for me. That thing, you know, that thing about that thing.
I have no idea what you're talking
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's okay. It's between me and don't be a putz. I just forgot.
I don't know if I like the idea of you guys having special relationships with some of the IMers. David, thank you for sending that 11 Alive story. Did you send that 11 Alive story? I can't remember who sent it to me. I think it was David. Sammy Camera 1. Regarding the conservative worldview, Dick Cheney supports gay rights. Colin Powell, affirmative action. George Bush supports immigration reform. Jeb married to a Mexican. Michael Steele can see the Southern strategy for what it is. Since Gabby Giffords was shot, congressional Republicans want restriction on guns. Yes. Good point. Inferior buffet. I've been deciding on holding out on getting a Huntington's disease test due to lack of insurance for years. I've watched my mom waste away to it, and it more than sucks. If I do have it, it would be as serious as a pre-existing condition, and I would want the security of knowing that I will not be denied coverage. Meanwhile, I have been going crazy. By the way, love, how did you get that job, son? Oh, gosh. And you don't have a job now, I guess, and... Wow. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. That is, I mean, people understand what Inferior Buffet's situation is here? You don't get it?
I'm sorry, I was working on something else.
He wants to get a test for Huntington's disease. Mm-hmm. His mom had it. But he's afraid, or she's afraid, because it would be a pre-existing condition, and they would be unable to get health insurance until 2014. That's assuming the Republicans don't manage to... my heart goes out to you. I don't even know what to do. What? Did I hear correctly? Todd Palin, prostitute? What? Did you hear anything about that?
No.
Harold? No, I didn't. I don't think you heard that. I don't have a garage anymore either, Sam. We have a large, partially unfinished room that used to hold the vehicles with a very large door in the front filled with crap. Dramanthes. We'll be right back, and I'm going to shit on Lieberman some more. Fucking hilarious. Upbeat Nihilist. Got rid of cable and stream everything now and haven't. Check out Instant Watcher for a comprehensive list of Netflix movies. For whatever reason, they're coy about letting you easily find on their site. You can sort by genre, New York Times, Rotten Tomatoes. Oh, Instant Watcher. I will do.
There's a there's another little thing out there for everybody. If you want to watch certain cable shows live, you can watch it on the internet at Justin TV.
Yeah, and you could just search, actually, on Justin TV and find it. That's,
I mean, like CNN International, like all this great stuff. It's really kind of neat. I mean, it's totally wrong.
So you've heard.
It's totally wrong. I think that's illegal. It's bad, but it's there.
Well, I don't know if it's legal to watch.
I was always thinking about that, too. Why don't they put out, like, an audio stream of cable networks? I mean, you don't really have to watch these guys too much, you know?
That's a good point, too.
I know.
Oh, Harold says that Todd Palin, third age, Todd Palin accused of sex scandal, masseuse.
I wonder if it's the same woman who accused Al Gore. She's just on the roll.
Exactly. Did you hear Baby Doc Duvalier's lawyer used the line, "We need to look forward, not backwards"? Oh, I didn't. Unbelievable. That's. If you have a link, send that to me. Joe Lieberlier, thank you for your support over the years. One of the people I plan to work with as I leave office is the great Lanny Davis. There's quite a bit of money in consulting with the dictator's business. Yeah, Lanny Davis is just horrible. Horrible. He's got, like, he pimps, like, what? It's some African nation. I can't remember what it was. Like, and then claims that he didn't, but he did. It's just despicable. Just despicable. Just despicable. All right, so let's shit on Joe Lieberman. We got a little time. Now, maybe many of you have seen this already or heard this. But so Lieberman was on Morning Joe. And, you know, when Morning Joe calls you out as being condescending, then you know you've got a problem. But first, let's just play the clips that Morning Joe played of his resignation speech. Because what is fantastic about Lieberman is, like, look, everyone knew that he had no chance to win. And you know everybody told him he had no chance to win. And now, what does a liar and a creep and an egotist do when they want to not embarrass themselves and not admit these things? Well, of course, they do what every despicable person has done, whether they're, like, you know, a mafiosa wrapping themselves, you know, going to the church to cover it, or whether it's, you know, somebody who, you know, was on the Crusades. What do? If they can't grab for the flag, what do they grab for?
The reason I've decided not to run for re-election in 2012 is best expressed in the wise words.
Oh, hold on, stop for one second. He knows he's lying so much that he can't even focus on what he's saying, and he says the breast instead of the best. So rewind it. You can hear him. He says, like, the breast way I can express this. Oh, God darn it. I'm just about to tell a huge lie. And I said breast. That obviously has to do with some psychological problem that Joe Lieberman has. I don't know what that is, but I mean, a psychiatrist could tell you in seconds. Oh, whenever he would lie to his mommy, he thought about the fact that he wasn't breastfed. There's something there. Okay, play it again.
The reason I've decided not to run for re-election in 2012 is best expressed in the wise words from Ecclesiastes. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. At the end of this term, I will have served 24 years in the U.S. Senate and 40 years in elective office. For me, it is time for another season and another purpose under heaven.
You scumbag. I could say that, you know, over the years, I feel that I have grown from my constituents apart. Or, you know, I don't have what it takes to run another time. Or I want to spend more time with my family. But instead, he has to say, basically, the Bible has instructed me that it's time to go. Instead of my being so hated in my own state. So then he goes on to pathologically lie and condescend to Arianna Huffington. It's a 2-minute clip, but it's worth it because This guy is such a scumbag that he can't even admit. Well, of course he can't admit. Pat Buchanan. Yeah, it's funny because there was a time back in like 2004 and 5 where Janine would get asked to come on these shows, particularly Scarborough Country a lot. And Janine would say, I'm not going on unless Sam comes. And that's how I got my first punditry, is with Janine. And sometimes Pat Buchanan would be on, and I'd be agreeing with Pat Buchanan because he was against the Iraq War because the neocons were all Jews. And he hates the Jews. In fact, some guy at the RNC, some radio guy, we're in the radio row, he doesn't know. You know, like these radio guys had no idea, like, wait, there's liberals around here? No way. Or this is what he says to me. He knew I was from Air America, and he's talking to me. He's like, yeah, you know, I'm with Buchanan. I'm not with, like, those neocons. You know, they're all Jews. And I was just like, that's what I understand, yes. He had just no idea. Like, it didn't, like, it's not possible. It's like, it didn't even occur to you, like, hey, wonder if this really, really, really sort of Jewy-looking guy from Air America could be Jewish. That didn't occur to you? It didn't occur to you at all? It really is funny. I mean, over the years, I've just had people say, you know, like, met this American guy when I was, you know, like, you know, doing that Europe train travel thing. You know, when I was, I think, just out of college, or maybe I was in college, or some just guy who's just like, yeah, you know what you do? You know how you win the gambling in Monaco? You got to go to Monaco and gamble. You know how you win? No. Sit next to a Jew. Really? Are you sure about that? I should have dug deeper into it at that point. Like, does it work if you're actually a Jew, or do you have to sit next to a Jew? Okay, so now let's play Lieberman condescending to Arianna Huffington, lying about the Dulfer Report. There's just, you know, I remember this fucking Dulfer Report. This is where Judy Miller actually had a story leaking that she had been traveling around with the Dulfer team, and there was going to be blockbuster stuff. We heard that for months. For months. In the summer of 2004, Judy Miller was like, we're going to hear this blockbuster stuff. And it's like, then it just sort of like, it was taking a little longer, because it turned out there was zero. Nothing. Nada. Nothing. No. Now, remember, we're talking weapons of mass destruction. We're talking nuclear cloud. We don't want to be the smoking gun. Weapons of mass destruction. You understand that a vat of, like, sarin gas on the battlefield can kill only, like, you know, like a ton of it can only kill, like, 100 people or something. Or whatever it is. I don't even know if you can use that on a battlefield. You know, this whole lie, this whole conflation of a weapon of mass destruction. What is a weapon of mass destruction? But the conflation of it. And the bar just kept going lower and lower and lower. I remember Ron Silver telling me on Scarborough Country, the night of the RNC convention, George Bush never said the words imminent threat. And I was like, you want to go? You, right now, look into the camera and tell the country there was never a threat, imminent or otherwise, from Saddam Hussein, an existential threat to this country. Or even one in which he could inflict any of the smallest of injury. There was never, he never posed a threat to us. And so let's listen to Joe Lieberman both lie about the Dulfer Report and also parse it in some way. Like, he sort of said, like, there was an inclination, Saddam Hussein. Just listen to this.
Good morning, Senator. It's stunning to hear you say that there was evidence that Saddam Hussein was working on weapons of mass destruction, given that even President Bush himself has now accepted that there had been no evidence. So on what basis are you saying that?
Yeah, I'm basing it on the so-called Dulfer Report. Charles D-U-E-L-F-E-R conducted the most comprehensive report on behalf of our government. Nobody thought it was partisan. I want to be very clear. He didn't find big caches of weapons of mass destruction, but he found and proved, I think, that Saddam had every intention, particularly to develop nuclear weapons, was developing chemical and biological weapons, and had a structure in place, including nuclear scientist that he was prepared to.
Okay, let's start again, and let's play this again. Let's play this again because we're going to stop it, and we're going to go along to, through each lie. Okay,
from the beginning.
Yeah. From after when he starts going, Dulfer. Let me spell that for you, Ariana, because you don't know how to spell.
There was evidence that Saddam Hussein was working on weapons of mass destruction, given that even President Bush himself has now accepted that there had been no evidence. So on what basis are you saying that?
Yeah, I'm basing it on the so-called Dulfer Report. Charles D-U-E-L-F-E-R conducted the most comprehensive report on behalf of our government. Nobody thought it was partisan. I want to be very clear. He didn't find big caches of weapons of mass.
That's right. He didn't find big caches of weapons of mass destruction. He didn't find small caches of weapons of mass destruction. He didn't find any caches of weapons of mass destruction. So it's good that you admit, Joe, that he didn't find big caches of weapons of mass destruction. Now, of course, we all know that Saddam actually secreted them out to Syria, and they're waiting for him to come back from the dead, and they're going to give it back to him. But
destruction, but he found and proved, I think, that Saddam had every intention, particularly to develop nuclear weapons, was developing chemical and biological weapons.
From the Dulfer, D-U-E-L-F-E-R report, Saddam Hussein ended the nuclear program in 1991 following the Gulf War. ISG, that's the Iraq Study Group, IRAQSTUDGROUP, Iraq Study Group, that Charles Dulfer headed, found no evidence to suggest concerted efforts to restart the program. Although Saddam clearly assigned a high value to the nuclear progress and talent they had developed up to 1991, in other words, he was proud of himself. The program ended, and the intellectual capital decayed in the succeeding years. Continue.
Weapons and had a structure in place, including nuclear scientist that he was prepared to support if he broke out of the sanctions, which he was inclined to do. So I think that the evidence is clear that if we did not do what we did, that Saddam Hussein would today have at least chemical and biological weapons and have a nuclear program, probably like Iran's, beginning to move toward capabilities, and that the entire world would be a much less...
Stop for a second. I don't even know what to say. It's a pathological lie. It's a pathological lie. I could also come up with an equally valid... First of all, his conclusion is based on a total lie. Now, my conclusion that Saddam Hussein at this point probably would have been toppled anyways, or would be desperate to to reach out to his neighbors and the rest of the world by this point. 10 years, 12 years later. The opposite. And I think that the facts bear out my conclusion. But my conclusion is based not on lies, but on the reality. Okay.
Completely unfounded assumptions. I sincerely hope for the sake of the country that you do not become a Secretary of Defense.
These are not unfounded. Go read the Dulfer report.
There's nothing in the report that proves anything that you have said.
Good luck to the next future.
Senator, come back and continue the conversation.
I don't think you've read it. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, Sugar. You know what? We'll play. You know what I got here? Oh, and if you want to call, give me a second. I'm going to play this. This is a call I made to... Wait, what the heck is that? It's a call I made to Joe Lieberman's office back in the day where he was holding Social Security hostage. Sort of funny. Let's play a little bit of it. That's me talking to somebody in the office.
I'm pissed. Well, I have nobody to call.
Share with me. Please press 1. If you would prefer to talk personally to staff, please press 2, and a staff member will be...
Please hold.
Senator Lieberman's office, how can I help you?
Yeah, hi, it's Sam Cedar calling from the Majority Report, and I'm recording this for potential broadcast. I was calling, I know today is National Call Joe Lieberman's Office Day today, and I was wondering if you guys had a lot of calls about Senator Lieberman wanting to attack Social Security.
We have gotten a lot of calls on it.
You have gotten a lot of calls?
Yeah.
What are people saying?
I can't say. I had to transfer to our press department.
Oh, have you had to answer a lot of the calls?
Yeah.
Has it been fun or unfun or?
Just another day.
Another day?
Yeah.
Now, is the scuttlebutt around the office that Senator Lieberman's going to back off his attacks on Social Security or?
Wait, what'd you say?
Is the scuttlebutt around the office?
The scuttlebutt?
Well, the talk.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
You know, I watched your show. Yeah, I listened to you the other day doing this to some other kid.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did, actually. So
you're not going to fall for it?
No, I'm not going to fall for it.
And well, you can tell me, and then it won't even be a joke.
No.
No way?
No.
Well, let me ask you.
I mean, if you want to talk to our press department, you can, but I heard you do this the other day, so...
Oh, really?
I'm on to you, buddy.
Did you like it?
I thought, well, I don't know.
Come on. Did you like it? You can tell me if you like it or not.
Well,
I was kind of
indifferent to it.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was kind of mean-spirited. I mean, the poor kid, you know, he's just a kid.
Well, yeah, but nobody knows the kid's name.
Yeah, but you don't have to do that, you know?
No.
You can have fun and, you know, we're all on the, I mean, you know, we all pretty much agree.
I'm a little skeptical about Senator Lieberman, to be honest with you. I think if you listen to the show, you know that. But no, I don't. I mean, I don't think it's mean-spirited. I mean, it's fun. It's not like the guy's. Nobody knows who the guy is. Do you know who the guy was?
Well, I mean, if you say what show you when you call in,
right?
You explain. You know, you broadcast the name of the congressman. I mean, it's pretty easy to find out who answered the phone.
No, that's not. I mean.
I mean, it's not that hard to find a staffer's name. You know that?
No, I don't. I don't even know your name.
Oh, you can look it up on the internet. It's not too hard.
I'm not going to do that.
Well,
that would be mean-spirited. But that's not the point. But you know what happens if I talk to the press guy? He's just going to tell me whatever he's already got pre-written.
Right.
I'm trying to get to the bottom of this.
Well, you're not really getting to the bottom of it, because if I tell you something, that's not getting to the bottom of anything. That's just what, you know, you're just trying to
Why is your opinion not as important as the press person's opinion?
My opinion.
Well, that's that. There's more. He ultimately says, I'll get you a statement, and then hangs up on me. Daddy says, Aang, soon those of us only viable broadband alternative Comcast will be limited to what we can download from Blockbuster and Hulu. Bye-bye net neutrality. Bye-bye Netflix. I don't know. Hang in there. Heathen Steven, have you heard about this Vail, Colorado investment banker who got off scot-free after running over a cyclist and leaving him for dead? Local DA refused to prosecute because it could affect the banker's ability to do his job. What? I think Ricky Gervais' atheist admission on live TV may have been some kind of precedent. What do you think?
No.
Is it?
I don't know. I mean,
I doubt it.
It was interesting to hear it, but I mean, it was at the very, 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 very end.
Yes, Heathen Steven, you can send anything you want at to majorityreporters@gmail.com. I'm not going to promise anything, but please, yes. Trip. So-called Dulfer Report, so-called? Well, actually, I think it was the Iraq Study Group. It was the official name. Some people refer to it as Dulfer.
That's right, sweetheart.
Sweetheart. Not sure if this is happening to others. My stream keeps dumping me off and taking a while to reconnect, says Dactyl.
I got dumped myself where I'm monitoring it just now.
Huh.
I'm looking into it.
All right. Upbeat Nihilist. Interesting article from Forbes. Congress passed socialized medicine and mandates in 1798. Huh. I'll check it out. Talk about it later. Don't be a putz. Liebman is the definition of the Shonda for the Goyim. On the other hand, Vermont Governor Shumlin was very impressive this morning on Democracy Now! Talking about the state's single-payer effort. We should get him on. I want to read a little more about that. Let's see. Harold. Netflix is actually catching flack for the recent announcement they'll be phasing out their physical DVD rentals completely in favor of streaming on demand only. So they must know something about the future of the internet. Well, I'll tell you this, Harold. I met the number two at Netflix in 1996. And, of course, they wanted to put Who's the Caboose on there. They wanted to buy, you know, and I screwed up. I don't know. I don't know what it was. But I was just so bad at business. I can't even tell you. It's like, you know, Who's the Caboose is coming out, getting a proper DVD release. And I was thinking of putting together a comedy show. I don't know if there's enough people around to do it, but I was talking to Eugene Merman. He's like, do you need me to do this whole thing for you? Like Eugene is just so, I just like, I, God, forget it. Let me just hand it out. I mean, I've just every step I take further with those projects, the more money I lose. I seem to have like the reverse. I took a bath on all those mugs, and apparently they explode when you send them in the mail. Sunshine Jim's been waiting for 10 years to get a mug. I put it in a box, I send it to him, it comes in, it's all just pieces. That's incidentally, that's what I mean. When I say mug, I'm talking about pieces of ceramic glass, not actual mug. Netflix is business plan from the very beginning was to do this. They thought it would happen 10 years earlier. They thought that they'd be doing this streaming directly, you know, in like early 2002. They never thought that the DVD business would catch on. They thought that was an interim step. They just had far more success, which just goes to show you that's the way you do a business plan. You know, you plan for something over there, and then success takes you where it will take you. And then if it still makes sense to go back to that same destination, you go there. Do you understand, Evan and Dorsey?
I'm on it.
So there may be a detour with a dollar lunch now and then. Some days there may not be lunch.
Justin TV, I'm telling you.
It's Casual Friday. I don't even know what that means. It's Justin TV, I tell you. Actually, I have no doubt that Netflix will pay the Piper and be a viable online business, but it'll be more and more difficult for some new paradigm to come along. That's right. Trip. Jim's in Canada. Of course the mug was smashed. Canada, they don't allow any mugs in there. Dactyl, just wanted to tell you, appreciate your passion about Social Security and also consider helping to save it. One of my missions in life, keeping Social Security vibrant and intact, is one of the most important battles of the class war we've been losing since the Reaganomics. If we lose this one, it's really all over. Along with the good defense, we should go on the offense by pushing economically stimulative effects of raising benefits and lowering the retirement age. I agree. Did you listen to the Galbraith report interview? Because like one of the only people out there who hasn't.
Do you see Obama's going to try to raise $1 billion for the next campaign?
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. Gabby Giffords was just the beginning, says Herbalez from Ralph Story. Police alarmed over graffiti calling for California Governor Brown to be killed on Valentine's Day. Long Doggy, I don't know if you've heard this before, but why not just say B-T-A-I-M, pronounced B-T-A-M. Well, I'll know what you mean, be that as it may. Oh! Be tame. Maybe. Aw, are you kidding? Jimmy Reefer Cake, listen to this. This is going to be the saddest thing you've ever heard. Now, Jimmy, I'm going to read as I am. Had to miss the show today. Kid is home from school and the cartoons rule. Plus, you curse. Just checking in now. I wrote a couple of songs for Chris Rosen. Check them out.
Oh, no.
Oh, Jimmy. Jimmy. Dude, first of all, you have kids. Second of all, just go back and listen to the show today. 7-year-old boy. What happened? Jimmy, this was your day, buddy. This was the day it all happened for you. And you missed it. Go back. Go back. Listen to the show today. Snow day. I understand. All right, folks. Now, let's see. What do we have for next week? Oh, should we call Benjamin? It's Casual Friday. Oh, why? What's the problem with that? There's no problem with that.
Not yet.
What? What? His old buddy calling him up.
Did you see Marin last night in Conan?
This phone call. Where is it? Where is it? But I had it in the... You know, it's... I don't even know his number anymore because I just press it on my phone. Have you done that? Like, you forget all your friends' numbers?
Oh, yeah. Lauren's number.
I don't even know my number half the time.
Hello?
Hey, John, can you say Name Drop Friday?
I'm on the other line.
Is it...
And I can't, so I'm on the other line.
Is it Name Drop Friday on the other line?
No, I'm on the other line. I can't do this right now.
Can't you just say Name Drop Friday?
No, I'd rather not.
All right, that didn't go so well. All right, folks, have a great weekend. Next week, I will be in D.C. on the weekend. Oh, boy, next week's a pretty exciting week. We have the State of the Union will be up. We'll have full coverage on that on Wednesday, of course, because it'll happen on Tuesday night. On Monday, we are efforting a couple of guests for the week. Thursday and Friday, not sure what's going to happen. And if you have guest suggestions, please feel free to send them. to majorityreporters@gmail.com. And again, if you can become a member, please, please, so much appreciated. Yeah, for Kitty, have a great weekend. All right. See you Monday.
Takes you. Yeah.